Good morning, everybody. Yeah, I managed to talk my husband up onto the stage today, so I'm glad that he's here. The song I'm going to sing, I've heard on the radio a few times since we've been back. I hope I don't offend anybody, but it's a little bit country, so generally I turn it down or switch to the next station. But when we were up in, I'm not a country fan, I'm sorry. But when we was up in Pennsylvania a couple weeks ago for one of the nightly devotions, one of the girls sang this song on the piano, and I actually really listened to the words for the first time, and it's actually a very, very beautiful song. It's called The Commission, talking about Jesus' last words to his disciples. And you know, whether you're a missionary in Africa or you're a missionary here in Lynchburg, the Lord has called us to tell people about him and the wonderful things that he's done for us. Are we good?
See my hands and look at my feet. It's okay if it's hard to believe. I have faith that you will do greater things. It's my time to go before I leave. Go tell the world about now I live. I've got to go now for a little while. Goodbye is not the end. Don't forget the things that I taught you. Conquer death and I hold the key. Where I go, you will go to someday. There's much to do before you leave. Go tell the world about me. I was dead, but now I live. I've got to go now for a little. Is not the end. Go tell the world about me. I was there, but now I live. I've got to go now for a little while. Goodbye is not the end of the journey. The end of the road, my spirit is with you. Wherever you go, you have a purpose, and I have a plan. I'll make you this promise, I'll come back again. Until then, go tell the world about me. I was dead, but now I live. I've got to go now for a little while. Goodbye is not the end. Go tell the world about me. But now I live. I've got to go now for a little while. Goodbye is not the end.
Amen. All right, are we ready for Bible study this morning? Let's take a look this morning at Mark chapter 9 again. And this is our foundational passage for the series that we started with you last week, a little mini-series of messages that we're calling Dare to Believe. And we're going to lay a foundation in these first couple of messages about what it means to believe and how do we have faith to believe and what can we believe for and all of these kinds of things. As I shared with you last week, and while you're still trying to find Mark 9 there, just to introduce this again. Every summer I like to take a couple of weeks and just share with you the kind of things that ministered to Becky and I many, many years ago and kind of really lit our fire as far as walking with the Lord by faith on a day-to-day thing. As we came to know the Lord in the early 70s and understood, particularly myself, my need of a personal relationship with Christ and being saved and those kinds of things, receiving the Lord and becoming a Christian in those days for me was something that simply meant that I knew now that when I leave this world, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to go to the Father. But I never really understood about the whole life of faith that God had for us in those days. For me, Christianity, as I've shared with you before, was just sort of, you know, okay, you're good for eternity. And now all you got to do is hang on till you get there, you know, kind of thing. That was Christianity. And I didn't realize, I never realized that God had a plan for this life, that in reality, the eternal life that I experienced when I came to Christ began the day that I came to Christ. It doesn't begin when I leave this world. It's already begun. And that God has things that He wants to do in me and then through me and even for me as a child of God. And we begin to learn back in those days. We begin to hear some messages on faith and trusting the Lord. The just shall live by faith and all of these kinds of things. And it really made us excited to know about the God who cares about us in the here and now, a God who is with us today, a God who does have a plan, a God who loves us, and a God who is willing to move mightily in our lives and our present circumstances if we can dare to believe. And as I shared with you before, you know, a lot of times we think that of course, God is sovereign and God is the Almighty and God can do anything. And sometimes we tend to move into sort of a default setting, if you will, that says, well, you know, whatever happens is God's will for my life and God will work it all out and it's all in. And that's good. It's good to have that kind of faith. But the Bible tells us many times that people came to trust the Lord for something specific in their day and in their time. Bartimaeus came to trust the Lord for healing for his eyes. Jairus came to heal, to trust the Lord for healing for his daughter. We're going to look at a man today who came to trust the Lord for healing for his servant. And all of these things had to do with present life situations. And they didn't just, you know, just, well, it's the way it is and, you know, if God wants to change it, He will. If there's anything different, it's up to God and all of that. And again, don't misunderstand me. Ultimately, it is up to God. But we play a part in this spiritual journey in a lot of the things that God is going to do in our lives by making the decision to believe God. And I'm going to share some circumstances with you personally at the end of the message this morning just to testify to you as we like to do in these things about the Lord and the way that God has worked in situations in our lives as we trusted the Lord to make a difference in our lives. The passage that I wanted you to turn to in Mark chapter 9, and we're not going to read the whole passage as we did last week, but I'm starting down verse 20 just to set the stage for you again. Jesus has been to the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. They come back to the other disciples and find them embroiled in a little controversy where a man has brought his demon-possessed son to the other disciples and they were not able to deliver him. And so there's this conflict and controversy going on. Why weren't your disciples able to do this? And so Jesus comes down and finds these people in this situation and he rebukes them because of, he says in verse 19, their unbelief. They're an unbelieving generation. And he calls for the boy. And it says in verse 20, they brought the boy to Jesus. And when they saw him, When he saw him immediately, the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked his father, the boy's father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, and it has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to the man, to the father, if you can, it's a question. What do you mean if I can do anything? Or as the King James Bible says, if you can do anything, or if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe, help my unbelief. And I'm going to stop right there. Oh, just by the way, so that you know, Jesus delivers the boy. Okay. But the point that I want to make comes from verses 23 and 24, and they are the focus of the message today. Let's pray together. Father, you know what you've put in my heart for these weeks to share with my church family and my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I want to thank you right now, Father, for the things that we have seen you do in our lives over all of these years of trying our very best to walk with you and to live by faith in you day to day. And you've been so merciful and you've been so gracious and so awesome to us, Lord. And God, is because what you have done for us that we stand before these people week after week after week to encourage them to believe in you. Because we've seen how good you are, how powerful you are, what you're willing to do for us. And we know, God, that you're willing to do it for anybody who will dare to believe. So, Father, I pray that you would do something in all of our hearts this morning, that you would light a fire today, Father. God, maybe we're here this morning and we're just thinking, you know, well, it's just another Sunday morning and we're just going through the motions and it's just another ritual we're fulfilling. God, I pray that our hearts would be completely, radically changed from that kind of thinking today, and that you would light a fire in us as we come to realize and understand how awesome, powerful, merciful, loving and kind you are, and that indeed nothing is impossible for him who believes. God, help us to get a revelation of that truth today. Get us a revelation of that today, Father, that excites us and motivates us to walk more closely with you. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So those verses of scripture that I pointed to there as I shared with you last week, those verses in verse 23 and 24 say to me that you and I have a responsibility within the context of the will of God being done in our lives in a lot of the circumstances of our life. No doubt about it, God is a gracious God and God is a sovereign God. And let's just be real honest today. If God wasn't sovereignly watching over all of us, probably most of us wouldn't have made it past about 8 years old. And I'm very serious about that. I mean, you know, the Bible says that this world is ruled by the devil, that it is full of evil, that it is full of wickedness, that there are curses and sin abounds and sickness and disease and all of these things. And if these things were just merely running rampant all over the world, and if God wasn't intervening probably daily for all of us, our lives would be absolutely miserable. It's what some theologians would call a common grace. A common grace that God just shows to the world every day. If it wasn't doing that, this world would just collapse in on itself. It'd be gone by now. We'd all be gone by now. But there's more to the grace of God than just the common grace. There is the grace for supernatural things in our lives when we dare to believe in the Lord. And let me just be sure we understand that when we're talking about the things that God can, will, wants to do in our lives, that God wants to do these things not merely for our comfort, not just to make us happy. It's not just about our pleasure, okay? But ultimately, it's about glorifying His name. And I've thought about this a lot over the years, and I wonder if the reason we don't see more of God's power in our lives is because most of the time when we seek the power in our lives, it is merely so that we can be comfortable, or we can be happy, or we can enjoy some pleasure. And we're really not thinking about the ultimate outcome of all that God wants to do, which is to glorify Him. I love the story in Acts chapter 3 of the man who was laid at the beautiful gate of the temple, and he had never walked in his life. You got to know Jesus must have passed that gate a number of times with this man there. But Jesus didn't do anything for him until Peter and John come to him in Acts chapter 3, and this man, a beggar, calls out to them and is looking for some kind of donation, money, something to give to him to help him to get through his day. Peter says, "I don't have any silver and gold, but what I have, I give to you." I've got to get us to see today, every one of us, every one of you from the youngest to the oldest. Thank God for Ed, or I might be the oldest in here today. From the youngest to the oldest, listen to me. What Peter had, you have. You got to see that today, guys. What Peter had, you have. The same Holy Spirit, the same authority of Jesus that dwelt in those disciples in the book of Acts, even in the Lord Jesus Christ, that same Spirit dwells in all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to do the same things through us that He did through them. Jesus said so, guys. Jesus said in John 14 about verse 12, He said, "The works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these." And most of us would not dare to come close to believing that God could do a miracle through us. But I'm telling you, God can do a miracle through any of us. Peter says, "I don't have silver and gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." And he reaches down and grabs the man by the hand and lifts him up. And his legs and feet are instantly healed. And the Bible said, hear this, listen. The whole reason I brought this up, you're going to miss it if you don't listen to this. I brought that whole story up to say this. God did not merely heal him to make him whole, to make him happy, to please him. But the Bible says that when he rose up, he went into the temple, listen, walking and leaping and praising God. He was giving God glory for what God had done in his life. And that, brother and sister, is the ultimate reason for everything God wants to do in and through our lives. And if we don't get that, I think if we don't get that, we shut down a lot of what God might otherwise do for us as His children in this hour. He does it, yeah, I mean, my goodness, to get healed like that, that is awesome. And that'll make you happy. It'll make you comfortable. It'll please you. But God wants to be glorified by what He does in your life. And that's what that guy did. And so that's the reason that we're bringing these messages for you for this next couple of weeks together and just sharing with you some basic things that we learned back many, many years ago about the faith journey that God has all of us on and the fact that we are to live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day with an expectation of God doing something in our lives by which He can be glorified. And sometimes we'll need to stretch our faith and reach out for something that's so far beyond us that, man, we can't see the possibilities. And it's only because of God that we realize that what He's asking us to do and what He's wanting to do for us is possible. If it wasn't for God, We'd be wasting our time. Jesus said, if we can believe, all things are possible for him who believes. And let's give a little context again to what Jesus is saying there. When Jesus says, all things are possible, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. We're talking about, guys, we're talking about in the context of God's will for our life, okay? He's not talking about going out and you know, making yourself rich and getting all kinds of stuff and, you know, all the worldly things that so many, even a lot of Christian people chase these days. No, he's talking about the context of doing the will of God and God's will being done in your life. And again, ultimately, for the glory of the name of God. Okay? So that's the context that we have to remember and realize that all of these messages are centered in. But I just want to tell you today that the faith that Peter had to do what he... Can you imagine that? Can you imagine walking up to a guy who is... I believe the text will tell us, would tell us in Acts chapter 3 and 4. A guy's about 40 years old. He's never walked in his life. Can you imagine you, me, walking up to that person and saying, I don't have anything to help you naturally, but I do have something better. Rise and walk. Most of us ain't got the guts for that. But I'm telling you today, we can have faith to do that. There's a way to get to that place in our journey. And I want us to understand what that means today. Because it's not, listen, I feel like I got to clarify so many things. I got so much going on in my head. Becky and I spent a good decade or more in the, what was called back in those days the faith movement. And I shared with you last week our gratitude for things that we learned there. But there's just a lot of things that were wrong with that as we got out of that and we realized that. And yet there is a core, there is a kernel of truth in that message that we must not toss aside when we toss aside the things that are not true. We used to have a saying back in the day when I first started in the ministry, that when you sit down and you hear somebody preaching the word to you, what you have to do is you have to chew on the meat and spit out the bones. Chew on the meat and spit out the bones. In other words, not everything that you hear is going to be edible. You don't want to swallow everything that's coming your way. But you've got to discern what you're receiving. Is it really of God or not? If it's of God, chew it up. Take it in. If it's not of God, spit it out. So I'll just encourage you today, all right? I want to share as best I can what I believe to be the true word of God, and I want you to take it to the Lord and let the Holy Spirit discern in your heart whether it is the true word of God. And what you're going to do is you're going to chew up the meat and you're going to spit out the bones, okay? And in doing so, you're going to be a healthy Christian, all right? So I want to share with you today, and I want to look over at one of the verses that to me really helped me to understand the nature of faith, and it's from Romans chapter 10, if you'll turn over there with me. We didn't look at this verse last week. We did look at a couple of verses in the book of Hebrews. I'm going to Romans, I promise. But I just want to reference the verses in Hebrews that we looked at last week from Hebrews chapter 11, where it tells us now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. What the writer of Hebrews is telling us is that faith is an absolute conviction, a certainty, a knowing. I'll say it this way. When you have faith for something, when you really have faith that God is going to do something in your life, and it's a real genuine article, listen, you know that you know that you know. You just know. Because you know. You know. This deep in your heart, you just know. It's there. It's there. I'm going to share some things with you later. Just as examples of these things. But that's the essence of faith. And I want to show you how we get that from Romans chapter 10. How we come to have real faith in the Lord. Now, another passage we read last week was from Hebrews chapter 12, that told us that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. In fact, from that passage in Mark chapter 9, the man said to Jesus, he said, I believe, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. And I made the point last week that we need Jesus to help us believe. We need Jesus to help us believe. Years ago, we were told that the way you come to faith is you find a verse of scripture and you just confess it over and over and over and over and over again until you finally believe it, and then you confess it in faith and it'll come to pass. And usually what we did when we confessed it over and over and over and over and over is all we did was just got delusional about that verse of scripture, and we didn't come to faith at all. Because brother and sister, that's not really how you come to faith, okay? I can make it real easy for you. Faith is not a formula. Faith is a relationship. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ, okay? It's drawing near to the Lord. It's pressing in to the Lord. It's becoming one and living out of that unity and oneness with Jesus and communing with Him, abiding with Him, and communing with the Holy Spirit and listening to His voice. Here's why. Look at verse 17, Romans chapter 10. I can't start in the middle like that. Let's start in verse 13. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him in whom they've not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent, just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Holly sang to us today and said that we need to be people of beautiful feet. We need to be a people of beautiful feet. When people see us coming, they ought to say, man, look at those feet. They've got beautiful feet. What does that mean? They are bringing good news. They're bringing good news. Good news. And then we take the good news of Jesus Christ. That's beautiful feet. Okay? Verse 16, however, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? In other words, he's saying there, you can hear the word of God and not come to a place of faith, because you've got to make a decision. You're going to receive what the Lord is speaking into your life. And you've got to make a decision that you're going to trust what you're hearing and believe that it to truly be the word of God and transformational in your life. And so he goes on to say in verse 17, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We come to have real faith in Jesus by hearing the word of the Lord. And let me just say something about that little four-letter word, word. Okay? Because in the Greek language, that four-letter word comes from a Greek word called rhema, R-H-E-M-A. And it's translated word, but it's a little different than other Greek words that are also translated word, in the sense that it means a word of revelation, a revealed word, more than just an expressed word. It's a revealed word. Let me try to explain what I mean by that. You ever been reading your Bible and you read through a verse of scripture, and maybe you've read it dozens and dozens of times, but all of a sudden as you're reading that verse of scripture, it just sort of jumps out at you and you get a revelation of what that verse of scripture really means. God really speaks to you through that verse of scripture. That's a revealed word from the Lord. And that's the kind of word, a revealed word to you, that's the kind of word that's going to produce faith in your heart and in your life. Here's what I'm saying to you. You can come to church every Sunday, and you can hear preaching every day of the week, and you can read your Bible every day of the week, and not really come to a place of faith, because you're not getting revelation out of what you hear. You're hearing with this ear, but you're not hearing with the ear of your heart. Jesus would say on several occasions, he would say, let those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And it's so important that we listen with more than just our natural ear, but we listen with our heart, and we listen with our spirit, and we open ourselves up to whatever God wants to speak and say into our lives, okay? Now, we can position ourselves to hear that kind of word from the Lord. Let me share with you, look over at Psalm 1 real quickly with me. This is why we need to commune with the Lord on a regular basis and grow sensitive to His voice. I believe it's in Psalm 46 and verse 10 that tells us, be still and know that I am God. We have to get still in the presence of the Lord. We have to still our minds. Listen, y'all stop thinking about lunch. See, y'all think about lunch right now, not listening to me. You've got to still your mind and focus your mind on the things of the Lord. And one of the ways that we do that, one of the ways that we can discipline ourselves to do that is by practicing the principle of meditating the Word of the Lord. Look what the psalmist says in Psalm 1. The writer says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Stand, walk, sit. In verse 2 he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, or rather, the word of God. And in his law, in his word, he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. He's teaching us the principle of meditation there as believers, and learning to meditate the Word of God. What does that mean? It means to dwell on the Scriptures, to think about them over and over and over again. Bring them up continually. Take a passage of Scripture and just all day long, just think about that passage of Scripture. Talk to the Holy Spirit about it. Listen, the Holy Spirit, if you're like me, you believe that the Holy Spirit is the author of this book. And you and I have the privilege of sitting down with the author of the book and saying to him, author, what did you mean in this passage? And we get to talk to the man who wrote these things so that we can have an explanation and an understanding of what he meant. So that we can get a revelation of the truth that he's trying to impart. And we can position ourselves in the presence of the Lord by meditating the Word of God. We position ourselves to hear the Holy Spirit when He speaks to us. And when He speaks that word of revelation, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But I hope you've seen in all of this what I've described as how we come to have great faith. I hope you've seen that every one of us has a responsibility, okay? You're not going to come to have great faith in the Lord just because you're sitting in that same chair you sit in every week. Here's a revelation for all of you. Ain't nothing special about that chair you're sitting in. I'm not sure why you pick the same one every Sunday, but there's nothing special about that chair. You could sit in any of the others and still hear the Spirit of the Lord. My point, brother and sister, is that we need to open our hearts to communion with the Holy Spirit of God and let the Spirit of the Lord speak to our heart. This is how revelation comes. This is how real faith comes. It's born out of communion. It's born out of relationship. It's born out of drawing near and abiding with the Lord. You're not going to get great in faith, you know, just because of where you sit or where you eat or the house you live in or the job that you have or the Facebook post you put on last night or anything like that. Great faith is going to come when we press into the presence of the Lord. And we make a commitment to come close to the Lord, and we become determined to hear His voice above all other voices. And there are a multitude of voices that are striving for our attention. But the Holy Spirit does want to speak to us. Now listen to me. This is how we come to have faith. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Jesus is the author of our faith. In communion with Him, we come to have faith in the Lord. Now, having said all of that, when I read my Bible, and my Bible tells me about somebody who had great faith, I know where faith comes from now. I know how you get faith. I know that it comes from God. I know that it comes when you hear God speaking. So whenever I see a passage of Scripture that tells me it's about somebody who has great faith, or they received something because of their faith, then I come to the conclusion that apparently they heard from God somewhere prior to that moment. They heard the Spirit of the Lord speak to their heart. And that's how they came to have faith. In other words, Bartimaeus, we talk about Bartimaeus, the blind beggar who cries out for Jesus. And he says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And he asks him to heal him of his eyes. And Jesus says to him, "It'll be done to you as you have believed." Because you have faith, Jesus says to Bartimaeus, "I'm going to heal your eyes." Well, if Jesus said he had faith, we know where faith comes from. Apparently, the Spirit of the Lord had revealed to Bartimaeus something about this man Jesus. He'd already heard from God. And that's where the faith comes from. Oh, by the way, the way that you got saved, if you are saved, and I hope you are, the way that you got saved, you heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that's the only way you can get saved? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. No man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the only way that you can know that Jesus is Lord and Savior of the universe is if the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. Okay? You remember Peter's great confession in Matthew chapter 16? Jesus said, "Guys, who am I?" Peter said, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." And Jesus says to him, "Peter, you didn't get that from man. You got that from God. You heard the voice of God, Peter, and that's how you know that." And brother and sister, that's how faith comes, when we hear the voice of the Spirit of the Lord. Faith comes when we hear that voice. And so we must hear that voice, and therefore we must position ourselves to hear that voice if we want to have the faith that's going to change circumstances in our life, you see. Whether it's Bartimaeus, the Syrophoenician woman who had great faith, Jairus who had faith for his daughter to be made well, the woman with the issue of blood who came up behind him and touched the hem of his garment. All of these people had faith. Therefore, we know that all of them had to have heard from the Spirit of the Lord, because that's how faith comes. Here's another picture. I'll show you one more from the Bible, and I got three from my personal life, and then we're out of here. Look at Matthew chapter 8 with me. Matthew chapter 8. This is not too long after the Sermon on the Mount. And then Jesus heals a leper in the beginning of the 8th chapter, beginning verse 5. It says, "When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him, and saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented.' Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' But the centurion said," now listen to these words, this is awesome. The centurion said, "Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it." Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel." And in verse 13, Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it shall be done for you as you have believed, because of your faith." And the servant was healed that very moment. A centurion is a Roman soldier, and he rules over 100 people, hence the word century, centurion, okay? And here is a centurion with a servant at home, tormented, and he comes to Jesus for healing of his servant. Jesus said, I'll be glad to come. Glad to come to your home, and we'll minister to him, we'll get him well. And the centurion says to Jesus, No. You don't need to come in my house. All you need to do, Jesus, is say the word. Healing will come. You don't have to take another step. All you've got to do is speak a word of healing, and my servant will be made well. I want you to look at what this man says about Jesus. First of all, he recognizes the power of the word of Christ. He recognizes the power of the word of Christ, that one word from the mouth of Christ can heal his servant. Kenneth Copeland used to say, one word from God can change your life forever. And on that point, he is right. One word from God can change your life forever. So he recognizes the power of Jesus. But not only does he recognize the power of Jesus, he recognizes the authority of Jesus over sickness and disease. Notice he says to Jesus, he says, "Listen, you don't need to come because I'm a Roman soldier. I understand authority. I'm under authority and I have people under me. And when I speak to those under me, they obey what I say." Listen to what he's saying to Jesus. He's saying, "Jesus, I understand and recognize your authority over sickness and disease. And just like I can command an officer under me, a soldier under me to go, and he goes, if you will command that demon to go, then that demon will be gone. Because I know you have authority over that demon and over that disease." And Jesus says he's a man of, listen, great faith. What does that mean? Faith comes by hearing. If he's got faith, he's heard something by the Spirit of the Lord. God has spoken to him in some kind of way for him to have the faith that he has in the Lord. And let me clarify something. When I use the phrase, God's spoken to him, I'm not talking about an audible voice. Necessarily. Certainly God can do that, all right? I mean, God can do anything. But as a general rule, when God speaks to us today, and he speaks to us by the Spirit, there's a verse of Scripture that says something about deep calling to deep. And it's a reflection of the inner relationship we have, spirit to spirit, with the Spirit of the living God, and how on that realm, on that spiritual realm, God speaks to our heart. And again, if you're here today and you are a Christian, then you've heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. Something convicted you in your heart to say yes to Jesus. That's how you became a Christian. And that something that convicted you was the voice of the Holy Spirit. See? Generally speaking, when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, it's just an impression on the inside. Just an impression, just something. Something comes to mind, and I know it wasn't me, okay? And it fits into the will of God. I'm going to share a couple of things with you in just a second, I promise you. This is how faith comes. I'm telling you today, The Holy Spirit wants to speak to every one of us. He wants to speak to all of our hearts because He wants all of us to be a people of faith, because He wants all of us to be instruments through whom He can work in this world to be a light and to reveal truth and even to do miracles and to pray and see people get healed. Here we are a fourth of the way through practically the 21st century already. And in America, we've got mega churches on every corner. And thousands of people are going to church and supposedly worshiping God. Let's just give the benefit of the doubt and say they're all worshiping God. And yet most churches today are built, please listen to me, they are built on business principles of the culture in which we live. Marketing principles are very, very important. You go to a church growth conference in America, you're going to learn the greatest commercial marketing principles that the world has to offer to learn how to market your church in order to get it to grow. Do you know how the first century church grew the way that it did? Signs, wonders, and miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. They didn't need marketing. They had everything they needed in the Spirit of the living God. And that's what you and I need to get back to as believers today, is to understand who we are in Christ and who He is in us and what He wants to do through us and how He can do the same things through us that He did through those first disciples. And in this way, He can use us to transform. Listen, we've got mega churches everywhere and we still have a culture halfway to hell. How can these things be? We're not effective in the world. And we're more influenced by the world than we are influencing the world. And we're not making the difference that we're supposed to be making. And God wants us to be people of faith, who walk in faith, who live by faith, who experience the glory of the Lord, and then go tell the world what they've experienced in Christ. Three things real quickly with you, and I'm going to close this morning. And these are not new to you, but these are the things that are the foundation of this church and this ministry and why we do what we do. Okay? And I've shared these things with you before, but they are just such perfect examples for me of the very kinds of things I'm trying to get you to see today. And I hope you can understand. See, when I'm talking about living by faith, and I'm talking about seeing things happening because we're believing God, I'm not talking about name it, claim it, blab it, grab it kind of Christianity. I'm talking about living by a faith that comes from communion with the Lord Jesus Christ and hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit so that we have a genuine faith in our heart to do the will of God and experience His will for our life so that we can then tell the world what God is capable of in their life so that they can dare to believe. When my firstborn was just 2 or 3 years old, John had allergies, and a very severe cough would come on him about every 3 or 4 months, every time the seasons change, called croup. Maybe you've heard of the croup cough kind of thing. And his little throat would close up, and he would cough real hoarse, and he would have a hard time breathing, and we would have to give him medication. And we would have to build a tent around his bed and have a vaporizer in there so that he's got moisture in his throat and to try to keep it open enough until this thing finally passed. And this thing went on for several season changes in his very young life, 2, 3, 4 years of age. And as a parent, when you have kids and your kids are sick, it's hard to deal with. And when you've got a little child and they can't hardly communicate with you anyway and their throat is so closed. That they can't hardly breathe. As a parent, that just freaks you out. And so, we had good doctors that we saw, and they helped us as best they could, and we appreciated what they did. It was during that time in Sean's life when we began to hear messages about faith and healing and God being with us in this lifetime and the possibilities of what God can do if we'll just dare to believe. And so we hear about healing and we hear about the laying on of hands and all of these kinds of things. And one night we had gone to bed. Sean had been in bed for a couple of hours, and Becky and I went to bed, and it was one of those times when the seasons are changing. And I hear him start coughing in his bedroom. And I think, my God, here we go again. Here comes the croup again. The doctors had told us he might outgrow it by the time he's 8 or 9 years old, or he might have it all of his life. And as we laid there in bed that night and we heard Sean begin to cough, we began to pray and we began to seek the Lord. And I heard the Holy Spirit. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me, go lay your hands on your son and pray for him. And I'll heal him. Now again, please understand, faith is not telling God what to do and expecting him to do it. Faith is hearing from God about what he wants to do and believing that he will. That's faith. We sought the Lord. I believe God spoke to me, told me to go lay my hands on him and pray for him. So I went into Sean's bedroom. I laid my hand on him. And I prayed for him. And he coughed one more time and rolled over and went to sleep. And never had to croup again. We could have battled that thing for years. He might still have it. But we dared to believe God. And God made a difference. A couple of days later, Becky's sewing machine quit running. I went in and laid hands on it. Nothing happened, but I took a shot. In 1984, Becky came to me and said, we've got a son nearly 10, another one about 7. And she came to me and she said, I think I want another child. I think I want a daughter. That's a pretty tall order. It's kind of funny. I like to tell this story because after both of those boys, which were both of them, were almost 9 pounds each. And each time she gave birth, she swore she'd never have another child. But for the joy set before her. In 1984, she came to me and she said, I think I'd like to have another child. I think I'd like to have a daughter. I said, well, let's pray about that. And so we did. We didn't name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. We prayed and we sought the Lord. And we asked God what he wanted for us. And we believe we heard him say, I'm going to give you the daughter that you want. And we dared to believe. And in September of 1985, Stephanie was born. in February of 2007, our middle child, Ben, was diagnosed with cancer. And you can imagine getting that report. Some of you have had that report. We began to pray for Ben and seek the Lord about what God might do in that particular situation. And we asked God for a miracle. We asked. God didn't say he was going to do a miracle. So to be real honest and technical about prayer and faith, God never said he would do that miracle. Therefore, we could not believe for a miracle. Does that make sense? God didn't say, therefore faith didn't come for a miracle. Now, you can still ask in hope. You can still ask because you desire something. But you can't have faith for what he doesn't promise. Because faith comes by hearing, you see. We began to pray and we began to ask the Lord and we asked for a miracle. And a miracle was not forthcoming where that situation was concerned. But I can tell you from the beginning of the time that Ben had cancer in February of 2007, the absolute assurance of his eventual healing did come. It came from the very beginning. And for the next 8 or 9 months and all of the chemo and all of the radiation treatments and all that he went through that year, all of that, we had every confidence that when this was all over, Ben was going to be healed. Why did we have that confidence? Because the Spirit of the Lord spoke to us. And faith comes by hearing. I shared with you recently that in thinking about all of that and in praying about all of that and asking God to do something in Ben's life, the Lord reminded me of the story of Abraham and Isaac in Genesis chapter 22 when Abraham took Isaac to the mountain and was willing to offer him to the Lord as a sacrifice. And because he was willing to give his son, God gave his son back to him. And God said to me, if you'll give me your son, I'll give him back to you. And faith came. And I knew that when it was all over, Ben was going to be well. After the 8 or 9 months of all the treatments that he went through and all that he experienced, they tested him as completely clear of all cancer. He went for the next 8 or 9 years for many, many tests, PET scans, CAT scans, blood work, all of the things that you go through. And they never found any trace of cancer in Ben again. After 10 years, we went to a doctor in 2017, just 5 years ago. And I went to I told Ben from the very beginning, I said, son, I'm going to be with you every step of the way. Every treatment, every appointment, anything you go through, I'm going to be there for you. And I did, except for 1 month when I was in the hospital with gallbladder surgery in the summer of 2007. But other than that, for 10 years, I went to everything with Ben. In October of 2017, we walked out of the doctor's office. The doctor said, you're clear. You're clean. And there's no reason for me to see you again. We walked out of the doctor's office. We went down into the parking lot. And we just looked at each other. It's over. It's over. And it's almost like the last 10 years never happened. You're well. You're clean. You're healed. And we knew it 10 years prior because the Holy Spirit told us he would be well. And faith came by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. This is the heart and soul of our ministry. Becky and I have done what I'm doing here today for 40 years. We're just telling you what we've seen and heard and experienced in God. And we're telling you because we know anything He's ever done in us, He is able and willing to do it in you as well. The question is simply this. Will we listen? And will we dare to believe? All things are possible to him who believes. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share testimony yet again of how faithful you have been to our family and just a few of the awesome things that you have done in our lives as your children because we dared to believe in you. And I pray, Father, again, that somehow you can take this simple message and light a fire in the hearts of all of us to recognize the possibilities of what you can do in our lives if we are willing to press into you, to commit to you and to put you ahead of everything else in life, to be totally surrendered to you, Lord, and to draw near and to listen to your voice. And when you speak, to be obedient to what you say to do. God, you are so awesome. Nothing is impossible for you. And you've promised in your word that nothing is impossible for any of us if we will just dare to believe. Thank you, Father, that you are the author of that faith. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you speak to us so that we can have that faith and dare to believe that what you say, you will do in our lives. Thank you, God, for being so faithful to Becky and I over all of these years, for what you've done in us and for us and through us for your glory. Thank you, God, for the privilege of being able to testify again of the greatness and majesty of who you are. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? I owe you 7 minutes. Good luck on collecting. I do appreciate your time. I do appreciate your willingness to sit and listen. And I do hope and pray that something that we've said here today has encouraged you maybe to take another step, to get closer to God, to seek His heart and His will for your life, the possibility of what He might want to do in and through you as a child, son or daughter of God. Nothing brings us greater joy than to see our church family stepping out and experiencing God. It's why we do what we do. And it blesses us to see you get the victory that faith can bring. If we can pray with you about special or personal things in your life, we're happy to do that today, tomorrow, here, in your home, wherever and whenever. Just let us know how we can minister to you in a personal way. Really do hope you'll come back this evening at 6 o'clock and be a part of our fellowship and ice cream. There'll be sprinkles. Becky got some toppings for the ice cream and things like that as well. So we hope all of you will come out and have some fellowship with us this evening and enjoy the homemade ice cream that we'll have here, several different flavors. And an opportunity to say goodbye to a precious family that's been with us for a year now. So we hope to see you all here at 6 o'clock tonight. Let's sing together, and we will be dismissed for lunch. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day. Till your likeness may be seen in me.